May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Well, one cannot be helped but get a little bit caught up in the excitement of the Olympic Games this past week. Heart-racing finishes, heartbreaking defeats, and teamwork that inspires us all. Now, there's some fun things about the games themselves, and some of it involves us spectators. A few days ago, a friend of mine posted an app on my Facebook page. Now, for non-Facebook users, that means they sent me a little game to try. And this app would let you see what type of Olympic athlete you were most like, using your height and weight. And some friends responded with their results, "Hey, I'm a men's gymnast from Great Britain." And another said, "I got a woman's individual freestyle swimmer from China." And another friend posted, "I'm a Peruvian men's volleyball player." Well, you get the idea. So I thought, hey, looks like fun. So I plugged in my height and weight. Yes, I was honest. And apparently, I'm most like an Egyptian male footballer. But the neat thing about this Facebook application is that it highlights the truth about the games, that it takes all shapes and sizes and genders of athletes from all around the world to make the Olympics all that it can be. Now, we might not all be the right shape and size to pole vault or to lift weights or balance ourselves on a balance beam, but we are all just right to do the work God has called us to do. It's this that we're hearing in the reading from Ephesians this morning. The author is imploring us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as you were called to the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. And it's a message about who we are as followers of Christ. It's read at ordinations, but truthfully, it could be read at the start of any part of a Christian's journey. We hear clearly that we've all been given gifts, that we might fully live in to the calling to build up the body of Christ. Now, we are in all of our roles, at home or at work, can be said to be living into who we are called to be as children of God. Perhaps it's as a caretaker or a parent or a teacher, an office worker, an athlete or a scientist, a baker. For many people, these are callings. But listen closely to what the scripture is telling us, because the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, oh my, pastors and teachers. Now, I can imagine some are saying, okay, with the exception of the pastor and teacher thing, how does this relate to us today? Isn't all that apostle and prophet stuff something that happened over 2,000 years ago? I mean, we go to work in cubicles, not wander around the desert in our bathrobes. How does this matter to us now? This isn't about a societal role, what we do to make a living, but about how we use the gifts that Christ has given us, gifts that were not, so that we might live better. Or in the Olympic motto, be faster and higher and stronger. There's one purpose for these gifts only, to build up the body of Christ. In all that we do, in all that we live, talk, spend, celebrate, mourn, from the moment of our baptism, we're called to continually use these gifts we've been given to bring others to Christ. It's the Great Commission. Each of the roles, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are ones that are actionable. Sent, speak, preach, care, educate. They're about purpose rather than occupation. One can be a business executive and a prophet, a social worker and an apostle, meaning one who's sent, a teacher and a scientist. Now, you might be saying that, you know, some people might say, I'm not really a pastor. Isn't that something you clergy people do, you know, the ones in dog collars? I can tell you that in the time that I've been here, I have come to know that there are many pastors among you, far greater than John or I, who visit the lonely, feed the hungry, care for the sick. There are in this body of Christ those of you who teach, perhaps not in front of a classroom, but just in the example that you set for others. There are prophets among us, the ones who shout out truths to power, and there are apostles who are sent to enable, to engage and support the work of the body of Christ. You see, being a Christian isn't something we do on Sundays, and living our call isn't something only clergy do. It's something we are, all of us, when we're sealed as Christ's own at baptism. And the author of Ephesians is reminding us that in our baptism, we are given gifts by Christ to fully live into our call. That could be a daunting thing if one were in it all alone. But we're not. We're not. As the author reminds us, we must live into this calling with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. These are the keys to living fully into our calling, to using the gifts that Christ has graced with each of us, that we bear one another in love, being one body, one Spirit. We have to work as a team. Now, I want to go back to the Olympics for a minute because one of the events that I find absolutely fascinating, synchronized diving. This is an amazing sport where two people, if you haven't seen it, must execute the same complicated dive without saying a word to one another. It's incredible. There can be no standout, no star, but two people moving through the air and into the water as one. Absolutely amazing teamwork. Being a Christian is about being surrounded and supported. It's not done in isolation. It's done as a team. Now, Christianity is also like another part of God's creation, the California redwoods. One of the most beautiful and enormous trees with trunks that can soar above 350 feet. But oddly enough, they have very shallow roots. So shallow that a single redwood should really topple right over. So how does a redwood survive to such incredible heights? By intermingling their roots. Redwoods survive in groups. Their roots link together to create a networked foundation that makes them strong and sturdy. As Christians, we're called to work as a team, each with our unique gifts, but with these gifts joined together like the roots of the redwood, working together in harmony and peace, like the synchronized divers, so that we can build up the body of Christ. We're a communal people. Jesus didn't call one apostle, he called 12. And then he sent them out in twos, so they wouldn't be alone in their work. The gifts each of us were given can only be expressed fully when we are united in a bond of peace, when we work as a team, as one body. And while there's no I in teams, as coaches like to say, We can't forget that teams are not filled with people who are all the same. Any more than a single redwood tree is exactly alike in every way in the forest. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate clothing that says one size fits all. I mean, who are they kidding? I mean, how does that make somebody feel? You know, when I, and yes, I'm talking about me here again, I put on the t-shirt or I put on the hat. Now, I have a weirdly big head. And then when it doesn't fit, what is that saying? Other than maybe I should try out for the Egyptian football team. Thankfully with God, being a part of the team isn't a one-size-fits-all proposition. Everyone fits. And everyone fits differently. Now, no two people gifted by Christ are alike, so neither is the result of the gift. Because we're all unique creations of God, each of us will also use our gifts in a different way, guided by the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to be the same. God wants us to be who we were created to be. It's like there's this little story about a Jewish rabbinical student named Simon, and he wanted so much to live a holy and good life. And he says to his rabbi, "Rabbi, how can I live my life more like Moses?" And the rabbi said, "Simon, in the end, God will not ask you why you are not more like Moses. God will ask you why you are not more like Simon." We're graced with the gifts we need to build up the body of Christ, uniquely in our own way and supported by the root systems of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And because these are spiritual gifts, there's no place for human pride, as if the gifts were self-generated or some way earned. Similarly, there's no place for envy. God's gifted us all, and all in various and different ways. All of us have our own unique gift for the purpose of working in harmony and spirit and peace to build up the body of Christ. But how do we know what those gifts are? We keep our hearts and our minds open to the Holy Spirit, discerning in prayer and stepping boldly into new paths. You know, I've noticed in those personal story segments that NBC loves to do on the Olympic athletes that so many of them felt something in their hearts the moment they plunged into the pool for the first time, or the moment they stuck the landing on the other side of the vault. They felt something. And a common theme was that each of them were early on identified by coaches, parents, and friends as having a particular gift. And then they were nourished and supported. We must not only be in discernment for our own call, but lift up those around us so that they can find theirs and experience their own gifts, just as Christ did with the apostles. And as we live into this call, like the athletes who must train, strengthening their bodies with diet and exercise, we have to do likewise. If we are to have, as the author tells us, each part working properly, promoting the body's growth and building itself up in love, then we have to be nourished. We need the wonder bread that will build up our bodies in more than 12 ways. Yes, that's an age test. We need the wonder bread that is the gift Jesus is for us. The bread of life that we heard about in the gospel today. Jesus is the nourishment that we get whenever we join with one another in the Eucharist. In the gospel, Jesus is making the first of his I am statements, statements found in the gospel of John that tell his followers who he is to them and to the world. And as the body of Christ in the world today, we need to make our own I am statements. When you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, "I am. I am an important part of the body of Christ, and God has given me gifts to use today." When you go to work, remember that everything you say and do isn't separated from your faith, but intertwined with it like the roots of the redwoods. And when patience is wearing thin and fatigue sets in, come here. Come here together with your family to be renewed because you don't walk this path of humility and peace alone, but with all of us. We are united in the Spirit, one body. So let us go out from here and use the gifts we've been given to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. Let's be the ones who are sent to stand for the marginalized, to speak against injustice, to preach the good news, to pastorally care for others, to educate ourselves and the world about God's all-inclusive love. Let us truly embrace the gifts we've been given, the love that binds us to one another in Christ. Let us make our own I am statements to the world. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit as we stand and proclaim by word and example that with the gifts that we've been given, I am a beloved child of God, a living part of the body of Christ. Amen.